Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. You know, if you've been following me on social media, you know I love to cook, or at least try, especially alongside some of my favorite chefs and foodies, like Benny Blanco, Jake Cohen, Lighty Hoik, Allison Roman, and Ina Garten. So I started a free newsletter called Good Taste to share recipes, tips, and kitchen must-haves. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/goodtaste. That's KATIECOURIC.com/goodtaste. I promise your taste buds will be happy you did.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everyone. Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. I've been a sports nut my whole life, and there's nothing I love more than talking about it. If you're a sports fan, Wake and Jake is the place for you. Covering all the hot topics from the sports world, a lot of baseball, a lot of postseason coverage, mock drafts, awards, guest interviews, all of it. New episodes every Monday and Wednesday. Come watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, it's going to be a fantastic Tuesday tonight. I have great news about stuff for the country, not just me. I mean, there's always great news about me, but I have great news about the country. You ready for that? We'll get to that tonight. We have the White House exposing just how weak the GOP has been. We have more whining from sanctuary cities about illegal immigrants. Why does this keep happening? White House is very concerned about the Hunter Biden stuff. We have Jesse being right about the gas stove ban, the facial recognition technology, how creepy that is and what could be in the future for us. The black vote, we're going to talk about that tonight because there's an article out about it. And surveys say most Americans say life is worse. All that and so much more is coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But I don't want to begin any of those places. I want to begin actually here and totally should not begin here at all. By rules of radio, I should be dealing with everything else that happened today. The news, like the E. Jean Carroll lady, the lady who was suing Donald Trump for rape and all that. She won her lawsuit in a Manhattan jury against Trump. Now, not for the rape portion of it, but Donald Trump was held liable in Manhattan for claims of abuse and defamation, so on and so forth. Okay, that's ridiculous. Every part of that is completely ridiculous. But of course, where was that jury? Manhattan. How does Manhattan vote? About 85% Democrat. That Alvin Bragg sham indictment against Donald Trump. Where's that? Trial going to be held? Manhattan. Just something to think about. But we're not beginning any of those places. We'll get to that in just a couple minutes. I'm going to begin here. Last night we sidetracked the show once again. I did a history bit on the B-17 and things like that. And it was so much fun. And we were talking about World War II stuff and Vietnam veterans and things like that. And it was awesome. I love that stuff. You love that stuff. A nice break from politics. Don't we all need that every now and then? It was just a nice break. Talk about some stuff. And I got so many emails from you about your dad, your uncle, your this, your that. I can't possibly get to any of them. I'm going to read this one. Just know this is me paying homage to all of you and your relatives. I'd take all 3 hours and do it if I could, but Jesse, I listen to you every night. My father and I listen to you every night. He's a Vietnam vet. He joined the Air Force at 17. I'd love to go into some of his stories. He looks so forward to Medal of Honor Monday. He was a crew member on the C-47 Goonie Birds and C-130 Hercules. Those are Vietnam era airplanes, by the way. The U.S. Air Force Vietnam guys aren't what people usually think of when they think of Vietnam. They got shot at regularly. I'm sure you're familiar with the Battle of Khe Sanh. He says they did cargo drops to places like that all the time. Too hot to land, just fly low, push pallets out the back and out of there ASAP. They hauled troops, cargo, even American casualties. They flew missions marking targets for airstrikes, flew over Laos and Cambodia where all insignia and identification had to be removed. If the plane went down, the U.S. would not claim them. He is affected by Agent Orange. I know it's too long to read on air, but I hope you see it. I hope to meet you on the book tour. He says, P.S. he despises Jane Fonda. And I just wanted to bring this up tonight for every Vietnam veteran out there, especially the ones, I mean, all of you, but especially the ones who are affected by Agent Orange. I hear from many of you, many of your relatives. One, I want to give a shout out to this guy's father. He didn't say I could use his name, but Dad, just know how much I respect you and appreciate you and all of you Vietnam veterans, all of you, every single one of you. I just want to once again say thank you on behalf of, I would love to say a grateful nation, but that's not true. You're not stupid. That's never been true. Thank you on behalf of me. Thank you on behalf of every anti-communist who listens to the Jesse Kelly Show. You are appreciated more than you can possibly imagine. We are going to do the best we can to try to preserve the nation you were trying to fight for. And just thank you. That's all. Just want to say thank you. All right. All right. Let's get out of here. Let's move on to some politics and some other stuff. What else are we going to do? We're going to sit around and listen to Joe Biden try to pronounce Chinese names?
The group included groundbreaking Asian Americans like Vera Wang and Joan Shingang, I'm going to pronounce her, Shanga Kawawa. I think I pronounced it correctly. She can call me Joe Biden.
That's so good. All right, quit. Let's go back to the E. Jean Carroll thing. I was just going to hit on this really briefly because there's other things that are coming. This is why I've been so worried about Trump and his chances with our legal system. And again, I want to remind you, I know it splits about half and half. I know all the numbers, about half of you hate Trump's guts by an hour. You're sick of him. Half of you love him to death. Just please set aside your hatred for Trump whenever I bring up the legal system. If you're only focused on Trump, maybe you're so mad at him. You're like, ah, screw Trump. Go ahead and arrest him. Okay. All right. But look, I'm not on team Trump. I don't wave his pom poms. I don't care that you feel that way. Remember, it's not about Donald Trump when we discuss these things. It's about our legal system because Donald Trump is simply the first, one of the first they're going to destroy. This shows the power of the system. Think about this E. Jean Carroll lady. I'm not even going to play you that disgusting audio of her, very clearly a weirdo with mental health problems, talking about, ugh, rape is sexy is what she said. It was just the grossest. I mean, this is very clearly a human being who's not doing very well at all, brings some bogus lawsuit against Trump. Trump claps back. Who is this nutball? I don't even hardly know this lady. Gets sued and gets held liable for defamation. Held liable for defamation. Why though? Because of the jury pool. And this is part of the bad part about the balkanization of America, even though we should balkanize. We should, because I want you to be someplace safe. I don't want you to be in New York City where you don't have any rights anymore. As much as I love New York City, I don't think you can live there if you're on the right. You don't have rights. It's not just the crime and the cost. You don't have rights. Why? Why is this happening? How can these things happen? Well, Manhattan's 85% Democrat today. But it wasn't always 85% Democrat. Now, it's been Democrat for a long time. But need I remind you that in the not too distant past, Rudy Giuliani was the mayor there, a Republican mayor there. It has been a fairly sane place for the longest time. That's been San Francisco. Hasn't been some full-blown communist nut job place. That's not how it's happened. But what has happened and what is happening, and frankly, what cannot be reversed, nothing you do, nothing I do can change this. People, normie norms, who aren't even listening to the Jesse Kelly Show right now, which it's hard to believe anybody would not be listening to the Jesse Kelly Show, but normie norms vote with their feet. Well, when normal person, usually Republican person, when normal person raised in a family can't seem to get in a good school, all the New York schools are closed. When normal person, when he packs up his family and leaves, he's not only pulling himself, maybe his wife's vote out, his kids will now not be raised there and they won't vote that way. The blue areas like New York City are facing a hemorrhaging of normal people. Well, what that's done is that's left nothing but communist apparatchiks there to choose from in a jury pool. It's why it's fascinating when you dig into this. We've talked about it before on the show. Barack Obama was really what ushered in this new, insane, full-blown communist Democrat party. How did he do that? It wasn't actually because he was a communist, not directly. Now, he is a communist, but Obama was so radical, so outside of the norm, that it scared people so much. He crammed through Obamacare, and people hated Obamacare. It scared people in the country so much that they came out in droves, not only at a federal level, at a state and local level, and they purged Democrats from office. It was unreal. Something like 1,000 seats nationwide. What? But who got purged? Every Democrat who was even remotely moderate. Anyone who was in kind of a moderate district. Well, that sounds good. Woohoo! We got rid of them. Yay! Except what's left? What's left is now they're all AOC. They're all Fidel Castro. And that's who's going to be sitting in a jury in your upcoming trial in New York City if you get in trouble. Something to keep in mind. All right, we'll set that aside. We have good news, Joe Biden news, and more. Hang on.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Got a little more Nikki Haley Trump stuff out there. We'll get to that here in a couple minutes. I do want to give you some good news, though, because that was some heavy stuff. We'll get to some emails later on tonight. We have the CEOs out there pleading not to raise rates. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss why the White House is pleading with CEOs and more. But let's get some good news. You ready for some good news? Right-wing takeover of a Colorado school board has some of the town's conservatives deeply concerned. That's, of course, a headline from NBC News. And obviously, it's a dishonest headline completely. Why would NBC News write a headline like that? Because they're scared to death. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why would I care about a Colorado school board? Well, here's why you should care. Because the right is finally beginning to wake up to legal and local. Now, it's a slow process. It's going to take a long time. You and I are going to have to shake normie norm awake for a long, long time. It'll probably be our life's mission is to wake normie norm up and get him to run for school board. But people are running for school board. People are seizing their communities. And let me tell you why that matters to you. And then we get to everything else here. It matters to you because the goal ultimately is to take back America, is it not? We want to take back America from the communist hordes who have seized all of our cultural institutions. That's what I want. That's what you want. That's what everyone wants. We have traditionally, on the right, had a savior complex. We have traditionally wanted that salvage. We've wanted America to be saved from Washington, D.C. Let's just get a GOP house in there. Let's just get a GOP president And then we'll be able to fix all the wrongs. After all, he's the top executive, isn't he? He's the top dog. We need to go there. Except, do you remember what they did to Donald Trump? Do you remember how they treated Donald Trump? He was president of the United States of America with a GOP Senate and GOP House for 2 of the 4 years of his presidency. And he had his agenda kneecapped time and time again from within the federal government, from inside the House. That's the bad news. The bad news is, and this is tough for us, we have savior complexes. This is tough for us to swallow. But the bad news is the 2024 election, win or lose, is not going to save or end America. It simply will not. Now, don't get me wrong. We don't want four more years of Joe Biden lighting fire to this country. We'd rather have Trump or DeSantis, whoever your guy is. But 2024 will not determine the future of the country, because the future of the country, if it is determined by the federal government, is already set in stone. If the future of America is set by Washington, D.C., America is already finished. Then we're already done here. We don't have to do anything else. But that's not the case. The future of America is set in the different neighborhoods and communities across the country. You see, the communists, they didn't take America. They didn't take over America through Washington, D.C. If you do any reading on the history of it, and obviously I've written about it, I talk about it on the show, there are other people who have written about it. I'm not even actually trying to sell the book right now at this point in time, but it's true. It was always local somewhere. Let's get in local somewhere. Let's go after this local union. Let's go after this local teachers union. Let's go after this local newspaper. We'll take this local media outlet. It was always small. For decades, decade after decade after decade, they were blocking and tackling at a local level. Then they were able to take that local level and spread it to a federal level. This is how it might work. This is how it might look. Let's say you have decided you want to take your country back, but you understand it's not going to be saved from Washington, D.C. So you will run for school board instead. Or city council. Or maybe you're not even going to run for office. Let's set that aside for a moment. You're going to get involved in your city government. Kind of a gross thing for conservatives to do, right? Traditional people on the right. Ew, who wants to be involved in government? But you understand chokeholds of power are what the communists take. So you go instead become the city manager. You're the parks manager in your city. Doesn't sound important, does it? Who cares? I want to go watch football. But instead you decide you're going to be the parks manager. You do a nice job. Get to know some of the local politicians. Eventually, you find yourself with a phone call from the state government in your state. They give you a call and say, hey, we want you to be in charge of the parks statewide. So we're going to come put you in charge of that. Soon, you get to know congressmen and senators, because when you run in political circles, that's how it works. Soon, you find yourself with a high up position in the EPA. You all of a sudden find yourself in the driver's seat in a wholly communist organization with the ability to dismantle said organization from the inside. That's how that will work. Because the top-down approach, hey, we're just elect Trump president and he'll appoint a new head of the EPA. Yeah, but the new head of the EPA he's going to appoint is still going to be undermined by all the communist employees underneath them at the EPA. We're almost completely neutered. From the bottom up, though, when we start filling up these organizations with our people from the bottom up, that's how we will save the country. All right? Good things are happening out there. School board, city council, be happy about it. Now, some not good things. White House and Hunter Biden. And why does the Republican Party bow to corporations?
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain, but those experiments are the most important scientific discoveries of the time.
I'm Evan Ratliff. Last season, we tackled the ingenuity of Elon Musk with biographer Walter Isaacson. This time, we're diving into the story of Benjamin Franklin, another genius who's desperate to be dusted off from history.
His media empire makes him the most successful self-made business person in America. I mean, he was never early to bed and early to rise type person. He's enormously famous. Women start wearing their hair in what was called the coiffure a la Franklin.
And who's more relevant now than ever?
The only other person who could have possibly been the first president would have been Benjamin Franklin. But he's too old and wants Washington to do it.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. This is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for about 30 minutes, I dive into three topics in Major League Baseball that I am interested in. Breaking stories, trends, stats, weird stuff. Sometimes I make up my own stats. Sometimes I do a lot of research, and it ends up, I was wrong the whole time. So that's something you can get in on. Use Jimmy's Three Things podcast to stay up to date on Major League Baseball and to make you just a smidge smarter than your friend who's a baseball fan. You listen to me and then you go tell him, hey, I know this and you don't. So I make you smarter than your friends. That's what Jimmy's Three Things is all about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. You could also find it on the Talkin' Baseball YouTube channel, and new episodes drop every Tuesday.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. It's your go-to spot for anything and everything sports. Baseball, football, basketball, hockey, golf, college, whatever's hot in the street, we're talking about it on Wake and Jake. So if you're a diehard fan or looking for the latest buzz, we've got you covered. No matter your favorite sport, we're breaking it down with the passion that'll make you feel like you're in the stands with us. Plus, we've got a bunch of guests, Foolish Bailey, Jolly Olive, Chris Rose, and more. Mock drafts, rankings, whatever you want. It's the sports world, and come on and join our friends in the Wake and Jake family. You will not regret it. So, new episodes Monday and Wednesday. You can watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen to Wake and Jake on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Buzz Knight, and I'm the host of the Taking a Walk podcast, Music History on Foot. Ian Hunter.
Hello, Ian. It's Ringo. How'd you fancy going on the tour? You get the chills when the Beatles are on your answering machine.
The podcast is an audio diary of insightful conversations with musicians and the inside stories behind their music. Kenny
Aronoff. I wake up every morning and I feel grateful, but I know it didn't come from luck. If you get a lucky break, well, you better be prepared. You better be ready. If you've done your homework and you're continuing to do your homework, you'll turn that lucky break into something great.
The message of the podcast is simple. Honest conversation with musicians about the music they create. Carney Wilson.
You know, I mean, Elton John picked me up and put me back in my crib when I was a toddler. It's like, that's the thing that's so cool is I've got these stories because of my life.
Listen to the Taking a Walk podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Did you see the latest from Eric Adams?
We have a brand. New York has a brand. New York Kansas doesn't have a brand.
We talked about this yesterday. New York, they're complaining. New York, Sanctuary City, New York, they are complaining about all the illegal immigrants coming in. And you've just got to appreciate how, I don't know, the gall was probably a great way to put it. The gall of these people. You declare yourself a sanctuary city, and for really the first time, you find yourself in possession of many, many people here illegally. And the first thing he does is go whining to the federal government for more money. The second thing he does, he's now shipping them out to the suburbs, and some New York County executive said Adams is dumping migrants on us without warning because he can't handle being a sanctuary city. It will never cease to amaze me how effective it can be to make the communists live under communism. Because nobody wants to live under communism. Nobody does. And the wildest thing about communism is when it's rising up, they'll get all these supporters who will back it. And they all seem to think that they're going to be the ones who don't really have to live underneath it. They're not going to have to experience it. Obviously, it's always going to be for everyone else, except it's only a very, very tiny few who don't have to live underneath it. Like 99% of the people who support it are going to eventually suffer underneath it. And this has consistently happened time after time after time after time. They always feel like everyone feels like I'm going to be the exception. And you know what this is? I think I figured out what this is. You know what this is? This is the self-importance all of us suffer from. I mean, not me, but Chris and Michael and everyone else. But we all suffer from self-importance, don't we? We all think that what we do is more important than it really is. We all think that the words we speak are wiser than they really are. And that is what you see from these communist activists all the time. Like the Black Lives Matter is a great example. Black Lives Matter. They had so much power during the summer after St. George Floyd's death and all these corporate donations in there. And they had every single American bending the knee. I'm so sorry. We're so racist. And they were feeling so powerful. And I was warning then, you remember, and I'll tell you again now, the funniest part of this is Joe Biden gets elected and won't take their calls. They immediately went public that Joe Biden wouldn't even take their calls or take a meeting. They were so sure. All the screaming fans, the $1 million donations, they were so sure that I'm going to have a seat at the table, baby. But listen to me. I know we have communists who hate listening to the show. I know. I get your emails. Listen to me. I know you think you're different and you're special. You and your cause, it's super important. And you're super important. And when you achieve victory, it's going to be good for you. You're going to be one of the people in charge. But you're not. You're going to be left out in the cold, living under the same misery of the destruction you've created. The only difference between you and me is you'll deserve it. When we sit beside each other at the gulag, I'm going to remind you every single day that you're the reason we're here, because you were too stupid and craven and evil to realize what you're doing. Now, speaking of stupid, craven, and evil, let's talk about the GOP. Because there's a debt ceiling fight right now. It's a big debt ceiling fight. I'll let Janet Yellen opine on it here for a second.
Well, clearly there's a very big gap between where the president is and where the Republicans are. The president set out a detailed budget. The Republicans have very different ideas. They want to focus on cutting spending, and the proposals that they've set out would entail draconian cuts. But look, we need to have discussions and compromise over fiscal policy, spending totals, and what spending goes for. And the president hopes to establish a process for discussing.
Sorry, I got to pause this real quick. You have to love that one. Hey, no. We need to raise the debt ceiling now without any limits. But look, obviously we're going to have these spending cut talks that later, just not today. Hey, just pass the debt ceiling and tomorrow, we're going to dig into these.
Compromising on those issues. But he's not willing to do it with a gun to not only his head, more importantly, it's a gun to the head of the American people and the American economy. Because a failure to raise the debt ceiling is really saying...
Okay, I'm already bored. So that's the tack they're taking right now. One of his top economic advisors, I can't say his name,
the Biden administration is insisting that President Biden will only sign a clean debt ceiling bill without any spending cuts. I mean, frankly, sir, you don't have the numbers. The House is controlled by Republicans, and now you have 43 Senate Republicans siding with them. That's enough to filibuster any clean bill in the Senate. So what's plan B here?
Well, there is no plan B. Our plan is for Congress to act to address the debt limit.
So what are they doing? This is the, you know how you, carrots and sticks. You've heard about carrots and sticks before. Sometimes you want to give them the carrots. Sometimes you want to give them the stick. This is the stick portion of the debt ceiling fight. The Joe Biden, the Biden administration, they're digging in right now and saying, no, there will be no cuts ever. We're never going to cut a single thing. Just let us raise the debt ceiling and continue to bankrupt the country. They don't have the power for any of that, but that's what they're taking right now. I admire that. It's not going to work. it's not going to work this time at all. I can't believe I'm saying this, and I know he's still going to disappoint us and has disappointed us 1,000 times over, but Kevin McCarthy hasn't been bad so far. And just quick pause, quick sidetrack. I just want to rewind to the vote to be Speaker of the House. You remember that vote? Vote to be Speaker of the House? And Kevin McCarthy couldn't get the votes because there were something like 20 holdouts who wanted serious concessions from McCarthy. And I remember like it was yesterday, about 90% of the right, forget about the left, the right, politicians and pundits on the right began calling those 20 people traitors. I believe somebody, I forget who it was, called them terrorists, said they were akin to terrorists for what they were doing. And then McCarthy actually gave in to all those concessions and we won. And now we have a Speaker of the House who's very much doing what he's told. So just keep that in mind the next time the whiny low TGOPers and the pundit and radio and TV and the elected ones, the next time they complain about this, those bad apples disrupting everything in DC, those bad apples who disrupted everything, they're the reason Kevin McCarthy has been decent. Anyway, back to the debt ceiling thing. The White House is going to have to make concessions. They are. They're going to have to make concessions, and they don't want to. And I saw this headline today, and it made me shake my head. Sometimes I read these headlines, and I read them kind of differently. I look at them from a different perspective, and I look, and I just think, man, that is so sad. That's so sad. It's such a sad reflection of our own side. You want to know what this headline says? I'll tell you in just a quick second. Before we get to what the headline says, let's get to, well, being the hands and feet as we are commanded to do. We are supposed to be out there doing good. Are we not? Everywhere we go, we're supposed to do good. And we can talk till we're blue in the face about I'm pro-life this, I'm pro-life that, I'm pro-life. I only vote for pro-life politicians, and that is good. I'm glad you do that. I do that too. Are we doing anything to help these scared young women who are severely misinformed? Are we doing anything to help them choose life? Preborn is. Preborn is our way we're going to do it. And so Mother's Day is coming. Mother's Day is coming. And if you want to honor your own mother, maybe your wife, if she's a good mother to your children, or maybe you're the wife who's a good mother, or make sure that you create another mother, because Lord knows we need more babies and more moms in this country. Preborn is how we're going to do that. Give $28 to Preborn, and that allows them to give a free ultrasound to that scared young mother. All you have to do is go to preborn.com/Jesse and give your $28. 28 bucks for Mother's Day. Even dedicate it to your mom. That might be something really freaking cool to do. Actually, that is a really cool thing to do. Preborn.com/Jesse. 28 bucks. Dedicate it to your mom. Buy a life. All right? Sponsored by Preborn. I will be back with a sad headline next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. We'll get to that song in a second, Chris. I actually have something I want to say about that. For you podcast listeners, it was CCR's version of I Heard It Through the Grapevine, and Chris wants to know why it was 11 minutes long. Oh, I'll get to that in just a moment. I'm about to go off, but first we have to get to this headline. It's disheartening sometimes. The White House is trying to get the GOP to cave on the debt ceiling stuff. So who did they call? Hey, this is a headline from Breitbart. White House begging CEOs to pressure GOP to cave on the debt ceiling. What a stunning indictment that is of the low-T GOP. Think about that. Think about who the White House went to. Hey, who do we want to talk to? Who has the most influence over these people? Hey, get on the phone with the corporations. We're used to the GOP screwing over the American people at the drop of a hat. If corporations said so, these saintly corporations, that tells you why we lost the culture. It tells you how we'll take it back, too, by ignoring these corporations. But isn't that the best explanation in the world of how we lost the culture? When you want to lean on the GOP, when you want to push the GOP into doing something that's, well, for Democrat interests and not yours, you don't have to call the GOP directly. Just call their CEO masters. When they jump, GOP will say, how high? Every single time. The GOP that's been led around by the nose, by the Chamber of Commerce, has done you and I wrong more than Democrats have done you and I wrong. That's just a fact. That's a fact. All right, we're going to get to some emails and some other stuff. I do want to say something quickly about that song, Chris. In case you're not familiar with CCR, well, Creedence Clearwater Revival. If you're not familiar with CCR, please turn off the radio and go start listening to Creedence Clearwater Revival. Probably the greatest band ever. I don't want to hear it. By the way, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But if you're not familiar with they covered the I Heard It Through the Grapevine song. Everyone knows that song. But they made it 11 minutes long. At one point in time, they go from jamming out to the CCR version of I Heard It Through the Grapevine to a long, long, very long guitar solo that goes on for something like 8 minutes in the middle of the song. And actually, there's a lesson in this. This is a lesson for America in this. This is actually a lesson for corporate America. I was talking to, Jennifer Say is her name. Jennifer Say was a big shot for Levi's, the jeans, the blue jean company, Levi's. And we were talking about corporate America. We were talking actually about the Bud Light stuff and how in the world could you get so disconnected from people who buy your product? How could Bud Light be that dumb? You're trying to sell beer to the four trannies in America and you alienated half the country. It's crazy. And we'll give some updates on that later. How could they be that dumb? And I was talking to her about that. And she said, this is the challenge of corporate America. And they know it's a challenge. And they've not figured out how to reconnect with this. The challenge is this. If you're sitting there and you're the CEO of Bud Light, I know it's Anheuser-Busch and all that. Just we're simplifying things. You're the CEO of Bud Light. What's your life like? What's your income like? It's millions. It's millions. These people who live their lives like this, they fly on private jets. The CEO of Bud Light hasn't been on a commercial airline, I bet you, in ages. Their life is drivers, private jets, probably has, I can't believe people do this, probably has three or four homes. He's got a ranch in Montana, of course. He'll have a house on the beach somewhere. They usually will have one overseas. Oh, let's go to our condo in Greece. So that's your life, and I'm not dogging on anyone for that. Maybe that's your life if you're listening to the sound of my voice. Maybe you're one of these big shots. Good, that's good. I'm not looking down my nose at rich people. I really don't do that. Good for you. I'm happy. But the danger in that is this, if you're the CEO of Bud Light. You don't drink Bud Light. And even if you do, you don't ever, ever come into contact with the bulk of your customer base. Ever. Because you're just not going to be around them. You don't live in their neighborhoods. Your kids don't go to school with their kids. You don't have any contact with them. So how do you stay connected? How can you possibly stay connected to people with whom you don't have any relation to at all? I have argued for two different things for corporate America, on top of rooting all the liberal white women out and all those other things. Two things for corporate America. One, if you're a corporation, I understand the desire to centralize in one big headquarters. We're going to New York City. Everyone wants to be in New York City. That's where we're going. Maybe instead of one major headquarters in New York City, especially because everyone does everything remote now, maybe you break up the company, break up the headquarters, and you spread out all over the country. Maybe one of your headquarters is in a small town. Maybe another one's in a big city. Because if people aren't physically around normal people, you don't know how they think. So that's one of the things I think they should do. Another thing, totally ridiculous. They would never do it in a million years. You'd never be able to sell it to the corporate board. I'm telling you, it would work. Here's what they need to do. If you're Bud Light, here's what you need. You know how the mafia, I'm sure I'm going to say the name wrong, has a consigliere. Who is that? He's not really on the chart of hierarchy, you have the boss and the capos and the underboss and all that. But the consigliere is kind of like an offshoot of the boss. So who is he? He's simply an advisor, a very respected advisor who, no matter what decisions have to be made as a family, they will turn to him and lean on his wisdom. Corporate America needs a normal guy consigliere. Pick him at random if you want. Interview him. But interview construction workers. Hey, bring in 10 of them. Offer them a generous salary to come sit with you in your boardroom and listen when all these Harvard degrees speak. Listen when they talk about their newest advertising campaign. And listen to him when you turn to him and say, what do you think about that? What do you hear when you hear they want to do that? Listen to what he has to say. Think how invaluable that would be. Talk about putting yourself in touch with the common man. I'm pushing for a corporate consigliere program, even though I'll have to figure out how to say it. All right. White House and Hunter Biden. Some emails. Someone wants to know about tunnel rats. I realized I didn't elaborate last night. I feel bad. And Klaus Schwab, even. All that's still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's talk about your dog first, though, and why you want to give your dog some Rough Greens. You want to give your dog Rough Greens because currently you're giving your dog a double cheeseburger every single meal, a fast food one. That's essentially what dog food is. It's just calories, just empty crap calories. There's no actual nutrition in it because they kill everything in it. But you don't have to take the food away from your dog. Give him the calories, but pour Rough Greens on it. It's a nutritional supplement. Delicious. Dogs love it. All natural. Antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes. You're giving your dog the gift of health, the gift of a longer life. The same way if you and I dropped fast food and switched to fruits and veggies the rest of our lives, would we live longer and healthier? Of course we would. Give that to your dog. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse for a free jumpstart trial bag, right? Or call them 833-33-MY-DOG.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. You know, lately I've been overwhelmed by the whole wellness industry. So much information out there about flaxseed, pelvic floor, serums, and anti-aging. So I launched a newsletter. It's called Body and Soul, to share expert-approved advice for your physical and mental health. And guess what? It's free. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/bodyandsoul. That's KATIECOURIC.com/bodyandsoul. I promise it will make you happier and healthier.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. I've been a sports nut my whole life, and there's nothing I love more than talking about it. If you're a sports fan, Wake and Jake is the place for you. Covering all the hot topics from the sports world, a lot of baseball, a lot of postseason coverage, mock drafts, awards, guest interviews, all of it. New episodes every Monday and Wednesday. Come watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.